for this morning's exhortation, let's turn to 2 Thessalonians 1. And we'll read this full chapter. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the ecclesia of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the ecclesias of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We have entitled our exhortation this morning, and it is not a new one, What Are You Worth? We find a report from the U.S. Bureau of Chemistry and Soils that has invested many hard-earned tax dollars in calculating the chemical and mineral composition of the human body, which breaks down with many things: oxygen, carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, calcium, and so forth. Our bodies also contain trace quantities of manganese and zinc and copper and so forth. When we total the monetary value of the elements in our bodies and the value of the average person's skin, we arrive at a net worth of $4.50. However, there is hope for us. Another report tells us this: bone marrow based on 1,000 grams at $23,000 per gram is $23 million. Our DNA is worth $9.7 million. Extracting the antibodies from our body is 7.3. A lung's worth 116,000. A kidney, 91,000. A heart, these don't sound right, but a heart is worth 57,000. So how much is a human body worth? When broken down into fluids, tissues, and all of these things, we're worth more than $45 million. However, the downside is these have to be extracted from living tissue, so you won't be around to collect. Have we ever felt or uttered the words, I'm worthless? Sometimes we in our life, we probably feel that way, most of us, I think, from time to time, that we're not contributing, we don't have a lot of worth to, you know, people, family, whatever. Now, some men's worth is determined by the amount in his bank account, others by the stature of their jobs, even some by their social or even racial class distinctions. The thoughts are as simple and psychological as, I am worthwhile because I exist. I am I, and I am alive. Some more less existential views follow. Marcus Aurelius tells us his thought was that a man's worth is no greater than his ambitions. Eleanor Roosevelt said, only a man's character is the real criterion of worth. Benjamin Franklin, who had many thoughts on various things, he said this, your net worth to the world is usually determined by what remains after your bad habits are subtracted from your good ones. And Albert Einstein said, try not to become a man of success, but a man of value. A man of value will give more than he receives. We have no doubt heard the concept of self-worth and self-esteem or self-value. Self-worth and self-value are two related terms that are often used interchangeably. Having a sense of self-worth means that you value yourself, and having a sense of self-value means that you are worthy. The differences between the two are minimal enough that both terms can be used to describe the same general concept. However, we'll provide both definitions so you can see where they might differ. Self-worth, defined by Merriam-Webster, is a feeling that you are a good person who deserves to be treated with respect. On the other hand, self-value is more behavioral than emotional, more about how you act toward what you value, including yourself, than how you feel about yourself compared to others. Now, as we go through all these things and read these various thoughts and quotes, try to think about how not these things pertain to us in the natural, but how these things come about as the spiritual. The World Book Dictionary defines self-esteem as thinking well of oneself or self-respect, while self-worth is defined as a favorable estimate or opinion of oneself or self-esteem. Another worldly author tells us this, self-esteem is what we think and feel and believe about ourselves. Self-worth is recognizing I am greater than all those things. It is a deep knowing that I am of value, that I am lovable, necessary to this life, and of incomprehensible worth. You will notice that these definitions, there are a lot of wording to self. We, brothers and sisters, we do not measure our worth by such worldly standards. These things are the measure of a natural man. While these are all the worldly thoughts and considerations that we hear around us in psychology and so forth, we realize that by birth, as we have been studying repeatedly in our Wednesday night class and fully understand and are acquainted with the concept, we are worthy only of death. There are some thoughts that we can take away from the above. There are many things considered truly valuable upon this earth. The question we have to ask is, are we one of them? Even though there's a ring of truth to some of these considerations that we went through, not that we are looking at being elevated in the opinion of others, we do need to see that in Christ we are of great worth to our Heavenly Father if we are obedient servants. It is with this thought that self-worth comes in. If we only see ourselves as worthless, how can we strive to do the will of God? We will have given up in our desire and ability to serve Him. I'm not talking about the idea of depression in a medical sense, but looking at ourselves and seeing our many deficiencies and thinking less of ourselves, even to the point of worthlessness. Well, we realize our position as to being born to sin and inheriting the condition of sinful flesh. We also have to see that we have also sought after the truth and made a covenant with our Lord and Father and His Son through baptism. Our sense of worth does not come of ourselves, but through our faith. Remember, we have been selected by deity out of this world. So he must have seen some worth in us to give us a knowledge of his great truth. Let's turn to Malachi chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 16 to 18. Malachi 3. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. In that day when I shall make up my jewels. We see this term jewels and other references to precious metals and other gems and ointments and other earthly riches spoken of in Scripture. These things are spoken of or recorded as precious items. But the interesting thing is that in the many references, the item itself is not what is being singled out. Let's look at a few scriptures. Proverbs 3, 13 to 15. We find, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. So here we set the stage for what we're going to be talking about. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Here wisdom and a correct understanding are personified and compared to the most valuable things the natural man holds dear. Some more scriptures. Ecclesiastes 7:1. We are told a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Isaiah 13:12. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Proverbs 10:20. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. In Proverbs 20:15, there is gold in a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. In Peter's first epistle, he starts out encouraging the believers as to their hope and calling and the special place they hold as believers. Let's turn to that chapter, 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. First Peter 1, 3 to 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, with according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him, yet see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. We are told the trial of our faith being more precious than gold, though it be tried with fire. And some time ago we had a exhortation dealing with the fuller's fire and all the intricacies of how they get the dross and so forth off of precious metals. We have phrases such as the pearl of great price, the treasure hid in a field. There are many references in Scripture to spiritual things relating to the apparent value in a natural sense. Let's turn to Job 28. When Job wishes to express the priceless value of heavenly wisdom, he ransacks the earth for all its choices and most valuable treasures. Job 28, we'll start at verse 12. Job 28:12. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not in me, and the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for the jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. While we see many references to godly characteristics being equated to precious things, we also see that the people of God, the people of Yahweh, are precious in His sight. Let's look at a few scriptures. Psalm 116:15, a very familiar scripture. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Psalm 135:4. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto Himself and Israel for His peculiar treasure. In Exodus 19:5. Israel was told, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Isaiah expresses the closeness and protection that Yahweh feels for His people that has been shown from their beginning as a nation. Let's turn to Isaiah 43. We're going to read the first 7 verses. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, and Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bring the seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. But what are we worth? Can we consider ourselves in the same elevated condition? Would we be valued enough that for our sake He would have saved the cities of the plain? or the comment in Revelation regarding Sardis in Revelation 3:4, thou hast a few names, and even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Are we worthy, brethren? Are we keeping our garments? Luke says in chapter 20, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead. Paul in his epistles uses this term worthy many times. This word in the Greek is axios and has reference to walking appropriately after a godly sort. The word is translated other than worldly as becometh in Philippians 1:27 and godly as in John 1:6. Let's look at a few scriptures that he mentions here. Colossians 1:10. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Ephesians 4:1. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord in all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that ye might walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. This aspect of walk we're very familiar with. It indicates action in our lives, keeping our direction on a straight and narrow way. And to walk worthy contains in it the aspect of obedience, the calling that we have. As he said, being fruitful in every good work and increasing our knowledge of deity. The aspect of walk indicates action. 2 Thessalonians 1:5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer. And skipping down to verse 11, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith and power. In James 2:7 we read, do not they blaspheme that worthy name which ye have been called. Strong's deems this to be entirely, to be deemed entirely worthy or deserving. Only our Heavenly Father knows whether we're doing enough. We have been called, we have been invited into God's house. We have been selected out of this world and given a name. In 1 Corinthians, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, unto the ecclesia of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified or set apart in Jesus Christ, are called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. And down at verse 9, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans tells us in 8, verses 28 and 30, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Moreover, he did predestinate or foreknow, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. A term we're very familiar with in our studies on Wednesday night. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. This should create in us, brethren, a wondrous feeling that we as baptized believers are considered as precious by Yahweh. Thought should humble us, but also make us strive to be worthy of being selected out of this world and called to be saints. Even the very word saint carries with it thoughts of being separated or sanctified or sacred. How happy we should be to be his obedient servant. Lest we have any doubts, let us think in these following considerations. We're told in 1 Peter 1:18-19, believers are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. No higher price could have been paid for us than that, and no less could have sufficed. In Romans 8:32, we read, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we he not with him also freely give us all things? In regard to the jewels that we spoke of earlier and how they relate to us, we see the consideration that the workman that is empowered in the cutting and polishing of these jewels would not be left to just anyone. While working these jewels, only the correct amount of material is to be removed in the development of these gems so that their greatest splendor may be displayed. As the enemy seeks to destroy these precious stones, he arrests them by the authoritative command, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. He also sits as the refiner, carefully watching the whole process, making sure the requisite heat alone may be applied in the setting until the purest result is brought forth. Another important feature is the care and protection that he places on his saints. Psalm 125:2 says, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so Yahweh is round about his people from henceforth ever, even forever. Deuteronomy 32:9-10. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, and kept him as the apple of his eye. But the most sobering thought is that mentioned, especially in the New Testament. If we were worthless, could it be said of us that in Galatians 3:26, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. This aspect of adoption and being thought of as children of the Almighty is covered many times in Scripture, and itself shows the great importance of the covenant bond that we have in Christ. But as always, it is a qualifier, faith and obedience. Ephesians 5:1-2 tells us this, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. In Romans 8:16-17, we are told the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, then we may be also glorified together. 2 Corinthians 6:17-18. We read this. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And in 1 John 3:1-2, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. This is a very sobering thought, that we have been selected out of this world into the adoption of faith and deemed as the children of God. The last thought is to be found in the future high honor he has reserved for them, the manifestation of the sons of God. In Psalm 55, he tells us, "Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice." Psalm 37:28, "For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off." John 6:40, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Romans 2:7, "To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life." In James 1:12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." This is a future high honor that we strive to be participants of. We need to refuse the temptations that we have. When we are tried, when we are down, when we think ourselves worthless, then think on these things. In conclusion, the next time you wonder about your worth or lack of it, think about your life in spiritual terms. Natural man cannot put a value on it. It cannot be computed as to worth, and it cannot be defined by science or philosophy. In Yahweh's sight, an obedient believer is priceless beyond compare. Let us live our lives with that in mind. Thank you.